the inside is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning into Winds of Change. It's Wednesday, so that means it's Brain Wrinkling Wednesday with Father Coys. It's always something brain wrinkling. Something we need the light of truth that comes from God to help us navigate the crazy world we're in. I have to start off by sharing some crazy news of what's going on in Springfield. There are a number of us that gathered in the somewhat beautiful town of Springfield, Illinois, the capital of Illinois, of course, and the Diocese of Springfield combined with really all the dioceses of the state of Illinois. Bishop Papraki gave a wonderful homily at a morning mass and a beautiful talk in front of the Capitol, in front of the statue of Abraham Lincoln. And God love him. If I didn't feel like I was standing up there with him, he was making the connection that I so often make in order to help our country weather a difficult storm, and that being Abraham Lincoln, his House Divided speech, and the obvious connection, obvious to some of us, that the right to life is our version of the freedom of the slaves issue. As we drove past the old state capitol building, someone pointed out, hey, that's where President Obama kicked off his campaign. And that speech of his always has left Obama's speech, that is, has always left me with a sour taste, because by claiming he's walking in the footsteps of Abraham Lincoln because of the color of his skin is to miss the incredible lesson of the Civil War, and that is that we are not to be judged by the color of our skin, that there is that something about freeing the slaves because they are persons that is lost on, it certainly was lost on the former president, as for most of the people that occupy the seats of authority in that building that was right behind us, as it were. Anyways, I gotta share with you some of the things that are going on in Springfield. There's a number of laws, and let's just analyze what our and is a proper sense of moral principles needed in a peaceful, prosperous society? What is that moral principle, shall we say? Before I go to the separate bills that we're asked to consider, especially to
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Welcome back, Father. Happy to have you back with us.
Thank you, Nick. Boy, the world of computers is a challenging one to live in. Glad to be back. Sorry about that, friends. Thanks for your patience. I was trying to relate my trip to Springfield yesterday, where we gathered with Bishop Opraki. We had a wonderful sermon at a mass. We filled up one of the beautiful auditoriums down at the University of Illinois, and thousands were in front of the Capitol building. It was the first such thing for a wonderful first kickoff for a pro-life rally at the Capitol in Springfield. So anyways, I couldn't help but, I don't know if we lost connection when I was starting to say that Bishop Opraki was using the analogy that I so often do, as those of you who are familiar with Winds of Change and Wednesday Brain Wrinkling with Father Coyes, the analogy of Abraham Lincoln. Bishop Opraki said beautifully that the House Divided speech of Abraham Lincoln applies to today as well. And then I want to put some meat on that in terms of how Abraham Lincoln used his common day knowledge.
Yeah. Hello there, Peabody here. Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
What famous date shall I set it to today, Mr. Peabody?
Oh, boy. Well, that would be the 1860s when the Civil War happened. And the scene in the movies, Lincoln by Spielberg, probably happened around 1862, something like that. Anyways, Lincoln is sitting in the telegraph room taking reports from the front lines and all the rest. He has a little conversation with his secretaries, and he says, "Oh, if you're an engineer student or you're a math student, you must be familiar with the Euclidean law." You can tell that Lincoln, without a professional or shall we say, without a regular education, was smarter than the secretary young men who had a regular official education. Anyways, he reminds them that the Euclidean law, one of them, is things that are equal to another thing are equal to each other. It's a good Euclidean law. If one thing, if A is equal to C and B is equal to C, then A and B are equal. Of course, you could add in some respect or in the respect that they are equal. You could use that in terms of man is equal to the heart and soul of God, is a child of God. Woman is equal to the heart and soul, a child of God. Then man and woman are equal. We're going to get to that aspect of the show here today, because there's certainly that's always part of the deep mystery of life, is it not? Our relationships, and especially the relationships that are in our families.
Wow. Yeah. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
That is a brain wrinkling. Anyways, so if we take Lincoln's reference to Euclidean law about two things equal to a third thing are equal to each other, the reference for us today would be that slavery and the unborn, the issue of slavery from the Civil War time and the issue of the unborn of our own day, they're equal to what? A third thing. The third thing would be personhood. The idea that the slaves should not be slaved is because they are human persons, and persons should be respected under the law with the dignity of the law. And of course, that's what the Dred Scott decision sort of denied, That's, of course, what Roe versus Wade denied about the unborn. So that connection, that mathematical, logical connection between slavery and the unborn, since they're two are equal to the concept of person, then what Bishop Papraki and what many of us have been saying is a logical truth, and unfortunately, it's just not seen that way. Here's another thing that I heard recently. Many of you might know the name Mike Pompeo. He was the Secretary of State under the last president. He recently said in an interview, he said, Wittengarten, she is the head of the Department of Education now. He said, Wittengarten is most likely to take this republic down. Wow, you know, that's something, isn't it? He's seeing and he's sounding the warning of let's get our educational system back in a more solid foundation, I guess you could say. Let's move on to some of these issues that are being debated and are calling for you and me. I encourage you to fill out these things called witness slips when we hear about these things. Here, there's a whole bunch. Let's go down this list here. There's one. There's a House Bill 2039, and this is a bill being put forth by our legislators, which allows for your personal health records to be sent to your local health department, quote, for the purpose of preventing or controlling diseases, and allows the Department of Public Health, the Department of Human Services, and the Department of Health Care and Family Services to, quote, adopt any rules necessary to implement the act. Man, you know, we've grown up, and I'm sure most, every one of us has grown up with the concept of privacy and attachment to medical procedures. I am Father Tom Coyes. You are listening to The Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. We are on WSFI 88.5 FM and 7:50 a.m. WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org. .org.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
second. There, yeah. One, two, three. Hello, everyone. God bless you. God bless you for tuning in. Sorry about this crazy internet. How we do this? Let's see. I'm not sure when I dropped off, but now let's get back. I was trying to make that beautiful connection once again, as we do so often, about the need for our Catholic moral principles to guide us to recover a better society, prosperous and harmonious. So there's a bill called House Bill 2039 that we should fill out those witness forms to oppose. It's the legislators want to make a law for the purpose of allowing your personal health records to be sent to the local health department. As I was saying, we always have had a kind of a right of privacy in regard to our health records. Obviously, it kind of took off like a skyrocket during the AIDS crisis, right? If somebody was going in for the treatment of AIDS, the hospital wasn't going to share that kind of information. Obviously, that would have been very difficult for someone to deal with, as it were. Having treatment for alcoholism, that would be another thing you wouldn't want hospitals to share. If somebody's trying to work and they have a slight cancer problem, that might give an employer the impetus to fire that person. And now there's this, if you don't get vaccinated, you will be turned over, as it were. And if it's the Department of Public Health, Health and Family Services, they can take your children away. If you think, they will say that you are endangering the lives of your children. So we could just see how the for your health, or for the health of our society, is being used as an incredible trump card. Pardon the pun. To find out who's not in step or who has questions about whether the vaccine is really working. Unfortunately, there's so many doctors coming out with adverse side effects of it. Even the morticians who are burying people are saying that deaths are skyrocketing or going up 30%, as it were, and no one's really looking into the why about it, which is very, very challenging and sad. So let's see. The next one is House Bill 1286. House Bill 1286. This one legalizes and allows construction or conversion of multiple occupancy restrooms, MORs. MORs, multiple occupancy restrooms, to change, in other words, a bathroom that has more than one toilet or urinal. There is a law which allows for the construction or the conversion of these regular bathrooms into all gender restrooms, complete with urinal stalls, partitions, and signage so that both sexes may use the same multiple occupancy restroom at the same time. Boy, that just is a strange new concept, isn't it? It's a strange new world, as we say. It's only happened maybe twice in my long career of visiting public bathrooms, but maybe you've done what, where you're walking in and all of a sudden you go into the wrong bathroom, and you, as a man, you go in there, you see you're in the women's bathroom, and you just, sorry, and you turn around and walk right out. But this is now going to be the new normal, right? And of course, it would subject women, especially, put them at risk of encountering Peeping Toms or Dirty Old Men, voyeurs, or even sexual assault, right? Boy, I heard a mother call in. She had to talk to her daughter because she went to the bathroom at their public school, and it was already all gender, I guess. And there were two boys doing something unnatural, we'll just say, to each other. And she saw him doing it in the bathroom and was kind of scandalized, as it were, which is normal for young children, that sense of let's help maintain their natural innocence until a little bit later in life. Well, that little bit later in life is getting younger and younger and younger, and many of our legislators think it shouldn't ever be. There's no too young to be exposed to what has for centuries and centuries, millennia, been called deviancies. Okay, so that's House Bill 1286. We should fill out the witness slip to oppose that one, too. Here's another one right now being considered. These things may be voted on this week, and I'm talking about recording this on the 22nd of March, 2023, so keep that in mind, my friends. So the next bill is called House Bill 1596, okay? And here, this one will replace gender-explicit pronouns of his and her with the child or other nouns in numerous state laws pertaining to children. So we should ask our representatives not to cave in to this. There's this strong sense that this is the way to move our society forward. It's the sense that tolerance is the highest virtue without consideration of what you're tolerating, as long as it promotes a kind of it's the philosophy of hedonism taking over our society, isn't it? Is it not, my friends? If it contributes to the hedonization of society, then we must tolerate it. If it inhibits the spirit of hedonism,
you just wrinkle my brain, man.
Yeah, then and pleasure is a part of God's creation. We're not anti-pleasure. Pleasure is something beautiful in life, but it's connected to virtue, or that you're supposed to enjoy and have pleasure among while doing some things, and there is pleasure in things that we're not supposed to do. Doesn't that sound pretty basic? But according to our legislators, guess not. Here's another one. House Bill 3. This prohibits disclosing drug test results on pregnant women to DCFS. Seems like it's just like a contradiction of that other one about the being able to share private health matters with the DCFS and Department of Public Services and all that. So, but if it's a pregnant woman and you find out that she is on cocaine or other drugs of one kind, you cannot disclose that information to the Department of Children and Family Services or law enforcement. Plus, it removes a portion of the neglected child definition that refers to newborns who test positive for controlled substances. So obviously, a woman has a baby and find out that the mother is on crack, cocaine, or something. That has to be kept secret. But whether or not if you're not vaccinated, that cannot be kept secret. That has to be shared with the various departments. So that's House Bill number 3. House Bill 2118. There's a few more, friends, before we change a little bit of a topic here. House Bill 2118. This allows anyone, not just a pharmacy, to sell any amount of hypodermic needles. The law now says anyone could sell up to 100, but that's not enough, and I'm sure they're thinking that this is the way to help drug-addicted people from using dirty hypodermic needles, you know. So you could, a soup kitchen or an organization that helps the homeless could buy more than 100 of these hypodermic needles and pass them out to anyone and anywhere. So that seems like, again, something that is promoting the moral downgrading of our society. What else? How else can I say it? I don't know. Okay, House Bill 2572. House Bill 2572. This bans public funds from going to groups that help people who suffer from unwanted same-sex attraction. So any group currently owed state funds would not get paid. So if there's a psychologist that has a person coming to them, counselor of one kind or another, and they're treating a poor person who needs Medicare or is going to pay for their counseling sessions with public money, and they, even if the young person or older person comes to them and says, I'm struggling with same-sex attraction, the counselor says, well, let's see, we'll work together and overcome this issue. It's a strange overlap. I was listening to a counselor who deals with seminarians, and they were dealing with this exact problem in terms of seminarians that come in and try to counsel a young man who might be considering priesthood and to help them overcome that. I could see that it can be a problem that can be overcome, right? But not according to the state legislatures, and anybody who tries to do such a thing will be financially punished, as it were. So, all right, one more, and then we'll go into our break, okay, Nick? There's actually a couple more. House Bill 1344. This mandates that abortion drugs and transgender hormonal therapy treatments can and must be covered in insurance policies. So, there's just the focus on legislators today is all about these sexual moral issues. And obviously, being a Christian, Catholic, we can see how they're just dismantling classic traditional Christian ethics on marriage and sexuality, right? They're almost all of these are connected in one way or another. Here's one, House Bill 999. We'll end with this and then we'll cut into our break, okay, Nick? House Bill 999 will establish women's health clinics around the state of Illinois for various services, including abortion services. So in other words, they're going to try to build more abortion clinics, especially near the borders of Iowa or Indiana, obviously. I've often thought that we're living in a time something like the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s, and we're often thought we're living in the United States in a time like the 1860s, the Civil War. But these examples are just making it more and more clear, as it were. So, okay, then let's go to our break here. We'll get through. Again, I apologize for the crazy connection issues. Hopefully you're able to fast forward, as it were, or enjoy the interlude music when that had happened. I'm sorry about that. You do need to be tuned into Catholic Radio and many of the good podcasts and news networks, or else the wool will be pulled over your eyes. How else can I say it? Tuning into the Winds of Change and other good outlets will keep you with a clear sight about what's going on around us, right? So I'm Father Tom Coyes, guest host on the Winds of Change, and you are listening to the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio, and AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Ladies, would you like to know what it is that men really want? I am Father Thomas Lawyer with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. In complement to woman's body, the body of a man is designed to act upon the environment, to go up against things greater than he is. Men are designed to defend, protect, tear down, build, resist, invent, in short, to accomplish the task. Their greatest desire, therefore, is to be told that they have what it takes. They measure up and have indeed accomplished the task. Conversely, a man's greatest fear is to be told that he is not adequate, that he is a failure. A man wants to see reflected in the eyes of his woman the essential message of his manhood. Yes, I do believe in you, honey. You are my knight in shining armor. Ladies, when a man hears that message, he will do anything for you. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. God bless you for hanging in there with us as we discuss issues of significance. I was in Springfield just yesterday, and we had a nice first statewide pro-life rally march in Springfield. God bless Bishop Opraki, who did a beautiful job and is well-deserving of our prayers, and his wisdom needs to be appreciated and understood and followed by many, many more, especially those working within the church world. Okay, here's an interesting take on what we're facing today, and a modern-day contemporary mystic. It's a guy from Colorado, and he's quite an interesting guy. He says that he's had visitations from his guardian angel or other angels that have really shared with him a lot of interesting points throughout the years. It must be taken with a grain of salt, obviously, and he even says that, but he shares with us what he has says he's hearing from supernatural source. So it's very, very interesting, very, very wonderful guy. Anyways, here's what he says as we face the chaos and crazy things of today. He says, many continue to think that the storm is God's punishment for us. I'm going to stop there because I've said that a number of times. I think that the difficulties we are facing is kind of, it doesn't have much of a, it's hard to understand it except in terms of, well, God's allowing something as a form of punishment. Now, Charlie is saying it's not directly a punishment, but he says it is not God's punishment. Get that out of your head. The storm is what we have brought on ourselves. So I think that's always the case, as it were, I don't think it's wrong to think of it as in some ways God's punishment, because God doesn't punish us for unfairly, so it is obviously the difficulties and the trials of our day certainly are brought on by ourselves. So he says, it is an evil that is entirely wrought by our hands. God has nothing to do with it. That's a good spirit acumen to follow. And it's one of the go-to excuses that we all use for giving up on God, because life is so hard and there's so many problems. We have to remind ourselves, God is not the author. He's not punishing us in the sense of a wicked person trying to beat up on a younger, smaller person under his charge, as it were. So he says, if you don't firmly get that right, you will get almost everything else wrong. The great evil is that we have convinced ourselves that we are sufficient to ourselves, that we are masters of our destiny with no need for God whatsoever. There's a good mouthful. I can't help but agree 100% with that. He goes on, through the means of the storm, God is giving us another chance to get things right. And this time we had better get it right. He put some of these things in, he blogs and he has website and those kind of things. These are in quotes because I think he's writing it down just exactly as his angel would dictate. He goes on, the storm is the beginning of our reclamation, not our destruction. Of course, that's a good way to look at it. Another way of saying, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade, right?
Wow.
It's a spiritual way. Yeah.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Here we go. We will begin to rebuild from the chaos during the storm, as we must, to confront certain things. I do not speak much of these things, parentheses by my comment. Wish he did. I wonder what, especially the specific things he's talking about, but probably has a lot to do with what I was just reading in the legislature, some of the bills that are being contemplated. Only that God has specific plans to help us back onto our feet and face the real trials of the storm. I, his name is Charlie, will play a role in this. After the storm, the whole culture will be in a rebuilding process as an era of great peace begins. God is not punishing us through means of the storm. We have brought it upon ourselves. But God has a plan for us and our reclamation. It's an interesting word he uses, reclamation. So it's kind of like redemption. It's kind of like renewal. But reclamation reminds me, the time I see that word the most is when you go vote for all those little offices that you have no idea or little idea what they do. There's always a commissioner of water reclamation. I always think, well, good, we do need clean water and there's a lot of sewage. So how do you get sewage to be reclaimed into clean drinking water? It's a pretty important aspect of a metropolitan area. Not exactly sure why it's a elected office, and I gotta believe that 99% of people who vote for such a person are like me and have no idea of what scientific background or knowledge about cleaning water or the science of making dirty water into clean water. It's just a name on a ballot. And so you can't help but feel that it's just a political office. You know, if you're backed by the certain political people, you'll get in. If you're not, you won't. Same old, right? Let's finish here with what he says, this mystic of today says. There is no place for safety except in God, as the darkness surrounds us. And that does not guarantee temporal safety, only spiritual safety. And do not think your faith, however abundant, will provide you with a get-out-of-jail-free card from the temporal sufferings that have begun. The rain from the storm comes, as it is written, falls on just and unjust alike. This will truly be worldwide. There will be no place of safety, and no family will be left untouched by the storm. You know, that makes me think right off the bat is, stop thinking about moving away to another place of the country to find a better situation. It can be everywhere. And in some ways, I recognize that that is a wise position, you know. So if you look at the statistics of people moving out of Illinois, our little precious state, to other states, you realize that a lot of people are trying to find a safer place, as it were, to raise their children and to just walk the street, shall we say, you know. But I'm going to take a little exception to that interpretation, because the part of the genius of the United States of America is that we are a large nation divided into different states. And it is good. I appreciate those who say the United States is somewhat of an experimental laboratory for right government and right living. In other words, some states will try something different than other states, and over time, some will be more successful, some will be more prosperous, some will degenerate, some will become more impoverished. And to find a state that does have a more Christian-centered political philosophy, shall we say, certainly can be a very attractive place for someone to move to. You know, it's happened over and over again. And so, this modern-day mystic obviously is not infallible in any. Anyways, he would certainly tell you, but some things to think about, right, my friends? The moral compass, as we so often say, is truly broken in so many ways. We do have to keep our moral compass, our own personal lives, set on the right path, avoiding wrong places, things, people, actions, etc. So let's take another break here. I want to share a little bit, too, with you about some interesting quotes about Mass. Many of you listening, I'm sure, are Catholic and go to Mass. And so there's a very interesting read I'm doing about the Catholic Mass, and has a bunch of interesting quotes. We'll get to that. So anyways, let's take another break here. I'm Father Tom Coyes, guest host on The Winds of Change. You are listening to the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. We are 88.5 FM WFSI and AM 750 NDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. With a little bit of time we have left here, I'll share a few thoughts on the Mass. We all probably have our special likes and dislikes about the Catholic Mass. And it is a point of controversy about today, of course. Here's an interesting quote that St. Augustine would be moved to tears at sung Vespers. You know, I think that especially happened when he was teetering between his conversion, his earlier life of hedonism and Manichaeanism and following all sorts of strange heresies, till he really had a great conversion. And going to church and witnessing sung Vespers moved him to tears. That's very precious. I have to brag a little bit. Again, I asked our music people to again sing that beautiful little song at communion time called Father, We Adore You. It's a round, if you know what that means. You know, it's like row, row, row your boat. That's what a round is. And, you know, you start. We sing it together, and then one side of the church starts and the other follows. It moves me to tears practically every time, my friends. And I can't help but think, I'm sure that not everybody is singing, but in our little church, enough people are singing to make it a beautiful little part of the Mass. If anybody's listening to me here that does come to Mass there, I ask, make sure you join in, not just for yourself, but imagine, if you would, someone coming into Mass that's not too familiar with, or, you know, they're like Augustine was in that, putting their toe in the church. They're trying to figure out, do I want to embrace this? Do I want to be so religious as to go to church every Sunday? And you couldn't help but be pleasantly uplifted by hearing a whole congregation of people singing in rounds, and the harmony that that song, Father, We Adore You, brings about. Another little interesting fact about the Catholic Mass is that it's good for us to realize that essentially, and at the heart of it, going to Mass, going to church, is more an act of worship of God. We could use the word adoration, an act of adoration of God, more than it is a learning something. It's not a class. And I'm glad to read that, because it does help me, how should I say it? It helps me not want to worry. A priest always worries about his message, of course, and it's an important part of the church, of course. But to realize the Mass is not really a class is a good thing. It you're going to worship God, and you want that worship to be done well. And you appreciate a message, of course. But anyways, it's not primarily a class. That does lead to the question of the readings and what import they are. They are very important. The liturgy of the word is very important. One of the differences between the new Mass after Vatican II and the Masses beforehand, known as the Tridentine Mass, the old form has a 1 year cycle of readings, so every year you get the same. The Vatican II Mass said, no, let's introduce more people to more parts of the Bible. Let's get a 3 year rotation. And I got to admit, I like to know that I'm getting a lot about the Bible, but I could see the wisdom that the church had before, in the sense of let's highlight and let's push the especially the stories and the passages in the Bible that are that will help strengthen people's faith in the Catholic faith, especially vis-a-vis the erroneous interpretations of the faith and other denominations. And so, you know how Protestant students will memorize a certain amount of passages because those are the ones that highlight the more Protestant interpretation of faith. And it works. Having a more limited lectionary is sort of the Catholic way of doing what the Protestant ministers do. We're not going to give everyone the whole Bible, but we're going to give them the basics and leave some of the more, shall we say, ambiguous passages that are easily misinterpreted out of the lectionary. There's something to be said for that. Though I would vote if the bishops and or even the Pope are listening, I would really encourage. I could see having the same lectionary, both the old Mass and the new Mass. It would make things a little bit simpler. And we are in the modern era when we mostly all can read, and so maybe we need a bigger dose, as it were. Anyways, I hear the music, so that means our little hour is finished. I'm glad you stuck with us. Once again, remember to tune us in, listen to the iPod. I'm Father Tom Coyes on The Winds of Change. This is the new EWTN Catholic radio voice for Chicagoland, WSFI 88.5 and AM 750 WNDZ.
Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs, no time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when right from wrong has become so obscure? It does not take that.